The retention factor. Why boards need to prioritize LGBT plus inclusion. When LGBT plus employees feel their employers aren't doing enough to support their inclusion, many are prepared to look elsewhere for organizations that do. This is one of the many stark findings from Deloitte's recent release, 2023 LGBT plus Inclusion at Work report, which explores the experience of more than 5,400 respondents across 13 countries through the lens of both sexual orientation and gender identity. One in three respondents said they're actively looking to change employers to find an organization that is more inclusive. And when evaluating a potential employer, Gen Z and millennial respondents are far more likely than their Gen X counterparts to place an emphasis on diversity and inclusion, reinforcing that this is an issue only growing with the importance of younger generations entering the workforce. The survey findings reinforce that when organizations foster diversity and demonstrate a commitment to LGBT plus inclusion, it can have a positive impact on the lives and experiences of all employees in the workplace. This is why it's vital for boards to recognize the importance of inclusion and move beyond lip service to ensure companies have the necessary strategies in place to ensure their organizations cultivate an environment where LGBT plus employees and all employees can thrive. I'm delighted to talk again with Emma Kott, Deloitte Global Chief Diversity, Equity and Inclusion Officer. This time, we talk about LGBT plus inclusion at work, the new report, and what it means for board members, leadership, and anyone working to achieve true equity and inclusion in the workplace. Welcome to the Better Boards podcast series. I'm Dr. Sabine Demkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. We make the boards of the most ambitious organizations more effective. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs. Our clients have access to a platform they can use for the internal board evaluation or as part of their fully facilitated external evaluation. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. Emma, it's fantastic to have you back on the Better Boards podcast series.
Thanks, Sabine. It's really good to be here.
You released another exciting report, which we will discuss and is of relevance to boards. So tell me more about the LGBT plus inclusion at work report. We have listeners all over the world. And some people might think, oh my goodness, why do they cover now this topic on a board podcast series? Really? What is the report and why should boards really care?
Okay, so good question. Let me start with the end of that question. So I'm going to start with why should boards care? Because basically, it's important that we actually have people that will stay listening to this. This data is really important. Look, I can tell you for us as a global organization at Deloitte, LGBT plus inclusion is a significant global DEI priority. Why is it? Well, A, because many of our people fall into Generation Z, millennials, and actually the data, so national statistics, for example, the UK ONS data, you know, the most recent data shows that it's around 10% of Generation Z identify as LGBT plus. Now that figure in reality could actually be larger. So that's for us as an organization, we've over 80% of our employees are Generation Z or millennials. So this is an important issue. It's always been important, but it's becoming more important. The other thing I would say, I always see LGBT plus inclusion and the willingness for people to be out in the workplace as a barometer for other aspects of inclusion. It is an identity that people can choose to hide. So when it comes to sexual orientation, people can actually choose to hide that. And so those, you know, naturally, therefore, the more people you have that are out at work, the more one can make an assumption that your culture is inclusive. So that's why it's important. This, you know, for any organization, it's really important you have highly engaged employees. I mean, the final thing I would say is we all know, or many of us will know, the impact of what's often referred to as covering. Now, that could be covering in other ways that people identify. For example, you know, there's a big trend of discussion around neurodivergent variations and, you know, some people who are neurodivergent who spend a lot of time and energy in the workplace covering. The same can be said for LGBT plus people. And imagine if every Monday you have to have conversations in the workplace where, for example, you cannot mention the gender of your partner. And somebody actually once told me to try doing it. And I think I lasted about 45 minutes before I was exhausted. But reality is, it means that people are not bringing their whole self to work. And I know that's a phrase that's often used a lot. But the reality is, I know if you cannot be yourself in the workplace, you are not applying yourself 100%. You will not be fully happy. You will not be fully engaged. So that's why it matters. That's why boards need to really think about this now more than ever. So, and then just in terms of, you know, a little bit of an insight into the report itself, well, it's another of our At Work series of reports. We've obviously previously talked about our Women at Work report. This report is actually around 5,500 LGBT plus people in workplaces across 13 countries. So actually more countries than we covered for Women at Work. These are not Deloitte employees, I hasten to add. We do a lot of listening with our own people. We get a great insight into how our people are feeling. What we wanted to do is get a barometer on the workplace as a whole outside our organization. So countries covered were Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, France, India, Japan, Mexico, the Netherlands, Poland, South Africa, the UK, and the US. And so it's really designed to give a sort of representative view from through a global lens of a really important issue, an issue that's important for people, for society, and for business as well.
I like the broad spread of countries, so listeners can say, oh, it's only these liberal countries, these liberal Western countries. It's really a good spread.
Yep, exactly.
So tell us a bit, what did you find in these reports? What are the findings?
So look, I mean, all the surveys that we do, I want to sort of caveat this with, I really hope that we find positive news. And every time we go into one of these surveys, you hope that you will see, you know, some things that really give hope and that show that action has been taken. And actually, we do see some of that in this report as well. But equally, we see some really concerning information that shows that actually we have quite a lot to do when it comes to LGBT plus inclusion in the workplace. So for example, the survey shows us how important it is to LGBT plus people in their workplace, it is inclusive for them. So, you know, around a third told us that they were looking to change employer to one that is more LGBT plus inclusive. And of those individuals, you know, a third of them basically said their current employer doesn't focus on LGBT plus inclusion at all, doesn't talk about it, but either internally or externally. Now, with this as well, we see the impact of intersectionality. And we were able to look at the data through other identity lenses. And actually, that third number of those that are currently looking, that's a huge number. That actually goes up to a half of respondents when they are in an ethnic minority in their home country as well. So that's really significant. So, and then it really gave us a good insight into, well, when they're looking for a new employer, you know, what's the utopia? What do they want to see? What makes them choose a company? And actually, this impacts from wider inclusion and diversity, equity, inclusion perspective, because what they tell us, the number one deciding factor is seeing a diverse workforce. That's nearly 7 in 10 respondents have told us that. So that effectively, if you think about it, they see matters. It's not what's said. It's not what's talked about in recruitment campaigns. It's what they actually visibly see in front of them. And then the second most important thing is the opportunity to get involved. So actually, these individuals say, you know, we want to see this, but we also want an opportunity to help change things. And then I think a couple of other big areas for me. So the next one is about being out at work. And I already talked earlier about covering and the impact of covering when you don't feel able to be out at work. And that's an immensely personal choice, by the way. And there are people that will decide, regardless of how open their workplace is, they will decide for good reason that they do not want to be out in the workplace. But the reality is that You know, individuals really need to have that choice. So the culture needs to be inclusive. And then if there are other factors, that's fine. You may choose not to be out. So 6 in 10 respondents said, yes, it's really important to be out at work about their sexual orientation. And actually 3/4 said it's really important to be out about their gender identity. However, less than half of respondents told us that they feel comfortable being out with all their colleagues. And there's another third that said, well, I'm comfortable-ish, but only with a select group of colleagues. And that's really concerning. And then the remainder basically aren't comfortable being out at all. And when you look at what stops them being out at work, the number one concern is a concern about being treated differently. Other reasons are a preference not to talk about it. And that's totally, as I said, it's a personal choice. But then if you look at the next ones, there are real concerns about facing discrimination or harassment, concerns they wouldn't be treated with respect. And nearly 2 in 10 have a concern for their personal safety if they were out about their sexual orientation. And just over 1/4 concerned for their personal safety about their gender identity. Now, let's put this into context. The workplace, and again, bringing it back to why do board members need to think about this? Well, these are people that are basically saying that if they are their true selves in the workplace, they're worried they'll be discriminated against, that they'll be harassed, they'll be disrespected, but then they're also worried about their personal safety. And this is the workplace is somewhere that boards have a duty to ensure that it is psychologically safe and physically safe. And yet this data is telling us that some people do not feel that way. And then I will stop in a moment, just a couple of other points that are really important. I'm going to leave the non-inclusive behaviours bit for later because we can talk more about that. But I just want to pick up on the sort of being out at work, you know, who with, because there is a difference that we saw, you know, as we said, you know, you've got, you know, under half who are saying that they're comfortable being out with all of their colleagues. But we then broke down and said, well, who specifically are you comfortable to be out with? Now, the worrying thing for me is that 37% said that they are, only 37% said they're comfortable being out with their direct manager, their leader. And then only 34% said they are comfortable being out with HR. And then when it comes to the leadership of the company, that goes down to 28%. Well, possibly I can maybe understand that. And then when it comes to clients and customers, it's around 20%. But for me, we're going to talk in a bit, I think, about non-inclusive behaviours. But the worry for me is that when you encounter terrible behaviours in the workplace, you need to be able to escalate them. You need to be able to speak up and to feel safe doing so. And yet, how can these individuals do that when they're not comfortable being out with the very mechanisms, the very people that are supposed to support them? So I'll pause there and we can move.
Now, several questions pop in my head, Emma. Do we see differences in terms of where people are in the hierarchy of an organization? Do people who are higher up, are they more comfortable to speak up or even less comfortable to speak up?
So we didn't cut the data that way, but that's a very good question for next time. We did look at it by generational differences. So we looked at, you know, the sort of difference between Gen X and then, you know, which I'm part of, and then a generation, you know, millennials and Gen Z or Gen Z. And there was a real difference, actually, in attitudes. So, you know, the importance of LGBT plus inclusion in the workplace, it is absolutely more important, according to this data, for Generation Z and millennials. Whereas a lot of Gen X are basically saying, well, yes, it's important, but if I don't get it or see it, I'll probably still stay. So there's a very stark difference there. There's quite a stark difference in terms of the importance of being out at work. Again, we see Gen Z and millennial respondents say, you know, really pushing on the importance of this ability to bring their whole self to work versus Gen X. Again, we see a difference in that. And we also see a difference in a couple of other areas as well. So now you could therefore assume that possibly the older people are more senior, although in the business world today, I think we probably shouldn't make an assumption like that. But, you know, one could say, okay, well, it's a possibility. Well, it effectively tells us that those in Gen X actually don't see it as personally for them as something that's as important? And you could therefore say that, okay, so those in leadership roles, you know, is that a challenge then? Are they basically, you know, failing to understand the needs of the younger generations again? But, you know, that is literally making assumptions from this.
And do we see differences between the countries?
No, very similar, actually. So we did analysis. We thought we would see very stark differences. And in reality, we really don't. It's all actually quite similar.
That's
yes.
Really,
so, you know, some slight differences around being out at work, but when it comes to the import, so the ability to be out, some slight differences from those that aren't, and the barriers. But ultimately, it's, to be honest, it's all worryingly similar. Whereas when we went into this research, whilst one always goes in trying not to make assumptions of what you'll find, I actually thought we might see quite a difference between countries. That's actually not the case.
We talked about non-inclusive behaviours. Can you elaborate on this a little bit?
Yes. And this is something we ask in all our surveys. We do an amazing millennials and Gen Z piece of research. You know, every year, Deloitte Global produces this extraordinary research of over 25,000 millennials across over 40 countries. It's amazing. Covers everything. And again, we ask questions in that about non-inclusive behaviours. We ask questions in our Women at Work survey about non-inclusive behaviours. What do we mean? And we've asked questions in this research, again, about non-inclusive behaviours. What do we mean when we talk about non-inclusive behaviours? We mean experience of harassment, so sexual harassment, experience of bullying, and then also experience of microaggressions. And for those that, you know, haven't heard that expression before or need a reminder as to what that means, the frequent definition of it is often unintended, seemingly small behaviours that adversely impact somebody. And it's those words, often unintended and seemingly small, that are really important to remember, particularly when it comes to the solutions. So we asked respondents whether they had experienced non-inclusive behaviours in the workplace. 42% of them said,
wow.
Yes, that's 4 in 10. Very similar, actually, to the Women at Work data as well. Almost, you know, strikingly similar, give or take 2 percentage points. And then we also asked, now this is subjective, I hasten to add, but we wanted to understand whether the respondents believed that these behaviours were as a result of the way they identified. So as a result of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And we sort of gave categories of, you know, are you certain they were? Did you strongly suspect they were? And the really shocking thing to me is just under half of those who experience those behaviours are certain they experience them as a result of their sexual orientation or gender identity. A further 37% strongly suspected it to be the reason. So that's over 80% of those that experienced those behaviours believe or strongly suspect that it's as a result of the way that they identify. Now, the most common behaviours encountered were microaggressions. Again, very similar to Women at Work and the findings there. They were unwanted jokes, comments of a sexual nature, unwanted jokes about the way they identify. You know, what in the old days we'd probably have called banter, you know, that is microaggressions. And that impact that has on people and how excluded they feel is very significant. And then I would say concerningly, so it's all concerning, but 1 in 10 of respondents that experienced these non-inclusive behaviours said that they were physical aggression. These are people in the workplace, in businesses around the world, who say they experience physical aggression because of the way that they identify. They believe it's because of the way they identify. Now, you then say, so we get, again, coming back to my point about HR and who you feel comfortable being open with. And they then, we ask them, did you report it to your employer? The numbers are, you know, quite concerning. And again, bear in mind that we have this high number of people that say they don't feel comfortable reporting, you know, being who they are, disclosing their sexual orientation or gender identity to HR. And you can see this possibly reflected in this number, because 43% of those who experienced did not report it to their employer, to anyone at their employer, not just HR, but to anyone. Now, we asked, why not? Why didn't you? Again, this is a standard question that we ask. 4 in 10 said, why should I? My complaint wouldn't be taken seriously. 39%, they thought that reporting it would make the situation worse. And then around a third had either no confidence that action would be taken or were concerned about adverse career impact.
Interesting numbers, concerning numbers. What have you seen good boards really proactively do about it?
So that's a really good question. I'm really glad you asked about it. And I can answer this in the context of my own organization and also what I've seen elsewhere. And there are some organizations that are doing an amazing job at this. What we've seen them do is make it a priority, make LGBT plus inclusion a priority, talk about it, educate, demystify. But for boards, it's basically look at, talk about self-identification. Is your business, has it run a voluntary self-ID campaign? Do you know how many of your employees identify as LGBT plus? Do you know how many of your employees actually are willing to give you their personal data in the first place? Because let me tell you, you know, in the 30s, 40s, 40%, then basically that potentially gives you an indication as to how trusted, you know, how much your people trust in terms of disclosing their data, in terms of disclosing the way that they identify to you. So it's really trying, you know, speaking to your people leader, to your DEI leader, and it's really understanding, first of all, how is your organization made up? And then it's seeking to understand, you know, the views of your people, including by the way they identify. And then it's a question of, you know, the issues that we looked at, looking at those, you know, your self-ID data, how many people are comfortable disclosing that they are LGBT plus? And as I said before, how many are actually comfortable disclosing their data at all? Do you have an employee resource group? Employee resource groups are really, really important. It is not their job to fix anything from a DEI perspective. That is the board's job. That is, you know, the management committee's job. But it is an ERG. The ERG serves a really good purpose, which is to enable people to spend time with others, to share experiences, and really to help advocate for any change where it's needed. The same as allyship. So, you know, I would say that every board member should be a visible and vocal ally when it comes to LGBT plus inclusion. You know, educate yourself on it and be an ally. Be an ally to somebody who would benefit from you using your voice and actions to enable them to be heard, really, as well, and to enable them to shine, exactly the same as sponsorship.
That's really good, because our listeners are always keen on hearing some practical tips, and that were really, really good insights, practical steps board members can take.
Perfect.
Now, we sadly have to come to an end. Beyond your work, you engage in far wider initiatives, also government-supported initiatives like LACA. Can you maybe very briefly talk about this, why this matters even on a wider scale, on a societal scale?
Yeah, LACA is Leaders as Change Agent. I'm really proud to be, you know, to be part of it, part of the LACA board. It is, you know, something that you have people who are really passionate about this, you know, subject matter experts, member cabinet office, government equalities office, you know, people that we come together and we are looking at what needs to change. And most importantly, how inclusion from all elements actually benefits business. And then on top of that, what is it that businesses can actually do to further inclusion? How can they make it a priority, and how can they, you know, make it have an impact? So whether that's sharing information about strategies, you know, what we've seen worked, what hasn't worked, whether it is, you know, pulling together really good resources that are, you know, aids for, you know, HR directors in terms of, you know, what are elements that we know could work when it comes to the future of work. And, you know, and the changes that we're all working with at the moment. So that's, you know, part of, I'm really proud to be part of the LACA board, and hopefully to carry on making a difference, not only in my own organisation, but actually outside my own organisation.
Emma, good talk with you for hours, but we have to come to an end. What are the three things our listeners shall take away from this podcast?
I would say, know that this is important to your business. So that's the first one. The second one is, why is it important to your business? Well, just know, the, as I said at the start, you know, maybe try a day where you are not referring to your, you know, your partner by their pronoun. So maybe try and see, and just know how difficult that could be for somebody that is not able to be out at work, and therefore, you know, the impact it's going to have on their performance. And then the final thing I'd say is understand that culture is everything. You know, take the pulse of your company culture. It doesn't just impact LGBT plus inclusion. It impacts across the board. Boards have a responsibility here. And, you know, so really try and get underneath that, understand how your people are feeling, understand whether they are experiencing non-inclusive behaviours, and understand, you know, what needs to happen. If that's the case, what needs to happen to stop that, to really deal with it properly.
Fantastic. Emma, thank you so, so much for the data, for your insights and the practical tips. Very helpful. Thank you so much for contributing.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Sabine.
As always, please do not hesitate to get in touch. If you have any comments about this podcast, any ideas for a new podcast, or if you are interested in our services and would like to see a demo of our platform, we are always delighted to hear from you. You can get in touch via the email info@better-boards.com or book a demo. Go to our website www.better-boards.com and press the button Book a Demo. I'm really always delighted to speak with people and see them directly. Thank you so much.